What does it mean to truly honor someone? Does it really make a difference in your life when you choose to dishonor people? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Jeremy Pearsons and his special guest, John Bevere.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons. I've been your host all this week and finish out the week. And I'm looking forward to what God is doing here on this broadcast. And I'm in for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, who once again are traveling and ministering and doing exactly what God has called them to do for the last 40 plus years. And we praise God for them. And I just love you, Mimi and Papa. I'm so proud of you as a member of your family, a member of your staff, and a part of this ministry. I thank God for you every single day in my life. And I praise God for what he's doing through you. And we are honored once again to sit at the table today with John Bevere.
Great
John,
to be with
thank you,
Jeremy.
For being with us this week. And thank you for what God is doing through you. Thank you for being willing to do that and what the Lord's doing through you and Lisa and your family and your ministry. You have brought a message to us this week, and it's something that you're bringing to the body of Christ right now. And I believe you're being obedient to the Lord in doing that. And you're talking to us about honor, the honor of God, and the reward that comes as a result of living in that. And we've spent some time over the last couple of days really jumping into, first of all, where this comes from in the Word.
Yeah.
We have to go there first. If we don't, it's at the very best a neat idea. But when you get into the Word and you find that this is, it's instruction from God, it's godly living, it is the standard of the Word, man, then it sets itself on a whole other level. And we've been seeing that in Scripture. We've been seeing that Old Testament and New Testament, but specifically in the life and ministry of Jesus.
Yes.
And you've pointed out to us that there are people that were eyewitness accounts of his life, his ministry. They were in the room, man. I mean, they were there when he was there and walked away with nothing. That's difficult for us as believers, those who love the Lord and serve the Lord and worship the Lord. It's difficult to wrap our minds around being present with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, Savior, brother, and walk away with nothing.
Well, you know, those who honored him greatly got a full reward,
yeah,
a full healing, a deliverance. You know, their eyes were open, their daughters were healed, their servants were healed. Those who withheld honor, they received a very small partial reward. The Bible says he was not able to do any mighty work in Nazareth because why? They withheld honor. That's why Jesus said a prophet's not without honor. And then those who dishonored him, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they received nothing from heaven, even though the very miracle power of God was there to heal them.
Yeah.
The teachers and the preachers in Luke chapter 5, it was there to heal them, and none of them got it. The only man that got it was a man who came in at the end of the meeting that was crippled. And you see this is a principle, because God says, those who honor me, I will honor them. Those who lightly esteem me, I will lightly esteem them. You know, Jeremy, I have friends that they go overseas to Africa, and these friends, they'll see blind eyes open up. I mean, literally scores of them, hundreds of deaf ears in one night open. They will see crippled people walk. And those same friends of mine, people like Teal and Daisy Osborne, people like Reinhard Bucky, they'll come back to America, same man, same woman, same message. A few headaches get healed in their meetings, maybe a bad back or an arthritis.
Right.
Why? One word, honor.
Yeah.
Because I've been to these nations in Africa. The way they honor me sometimes almost scares me. I mean, they treat you like a king. And because they see you as a man sent from heaven to bring the word of God to them, they honor you, the way they speak to you, the way they treat you. And so they receive so mightily. I mean, the anointing is so heavy so many times when I've been in Africa. And sometimes in America, we have the tendency to think, okay, I've heard this guy before. Yeah. Okay, he's another guest minister. And that's dishonor. And dishonor can be shown in either action, word, or even in thought. So thoughts count. The way we receive somebody in our heart. And that's why people that honor Jesus greatly receive such great rewards.
Yeah. And you've talked to us about how this really, when you start to look at it and you start to see this thread of honor all throughout Scripture, there is no area of life that this doesn't touch.
Oh,
every area. There is no one that is free from this as a responsibility or as even a command from the Lord. Because you've talked about how it affects these four levels of authority in our lives,
right.
And we've jumped into those where our church and civil and social, family, and I don't know if I got all those right. But
you got it perfect.
Great, praise the Lord.
I was really, really blessed by that, by the way.
But you've talked to us about how how this concept is reaching into every single one of those areas. Now, this is what happened to me, if I can just share personally when I was reading this
Absolutely.
Book. This is what happened to me. I opened this book, and I started to hear testimony after testimony after testimony, report one after the other of pastors, for example, who decided, we are going to honor God by honoring our civil authority. The one pastor you mentioned in the book about, he had been hearing complaints in his congregation about
their
taxes.
Well, this church, I went there time and time and time again, year after year after year. This is back in the very early 90s, and they couldn't grow past 125, 150 people. They just couldn't do it. So finally I said, I'm not going to go there anymore. And I just felt like I'd poured in and poured in. And 3 years later, I get an invitation from the same church. And my assistant said to me, they want you to come. They're going to have over 1,000 people. They're having this national speaker, and you. I said, what? I said, this can't be that same church. She goes, right. It is. I said, I got to go. So I go, and sure enough, the parking lot is jam-packed. They have satellite parking. They have policemen directing traffic. They have people being golf carted over to the sanctuary from the satellite parking. And I walk in, and it's just jam-packed. I mean, standing room around, over 1,000 people. I looked at the pastor. I said, what happened? He said, you know what, John? I got so fed up of hearing my people complain about our city officials and trying to cut corners paying taxes. I went to our city and found out the greatest need that they couldn't afford in their budget, and it was a $25,000 item. He said, I went to my church and preached out of Romans 13 that we were to honor civil authorities because they're God's servants. Mm-hmm. And he said, I raised a $25,000 offering. He said, we're going to bless them. We're going to honor them. Gave it to the mayor. He said, when we did our building dedication a few months later, it blew open everything. He said, many city officials came, city workers came, many of them got saved, and it blew open the whole thing. He honored the civil authority, and God rewarded him by opening up the city.
Yeah.
I mean, I can give other accounts of the same thing.
Yeah, and you do all throughout the book, and I guarantee you, you've got the attention of every pastor who's watching this right now because you are talking about supernatural, almost unheard of church growth, especially across when you look at average church attendance across America. And there is not a single pastor who is not interested in reaching more, and because
sure.
empty seats don't get saved. I mean,
right.
let's
absolutely
you know, let's admit it here. But so I'm here. I am reading this in the book, and my eyes are coming open. I'm getting corrected and inspired all at the same time, and I'm loving it, right? And I'm seeing testimony after testimony about pastors who did this, employees who did this. We've already talked about this guy who got four times what he was being paid as a junior executive just simply because he took the high road, honored even when he'd been mistreated. So here I've read all this, and this is stirring in me. And I remember I'm sitting, this is just yesterday and day before, I'm sitting in my office at home looking out the window, and I'm saying, God, if you've done what you've done for others, you will do for me. I determine and purpose I'm going to honor you by honoring others. And then what happened? I'm coming towards the end of the book. I get to chapter 14 here, and the title is Honor in the Home, and you begin to talk about children. It says Honor in the Home, Children. And I have to admit, my first instinct was, well, I don't have children yet, so what's next? But honestly, out of the desire to want to say, I read every word of the book, I started in. And in the first paragraph of this chapter, this is what you say. You say, I've observed the greatest need for honor isn't in the church or the workplace, but rather in our homes. Now, think about what has just happened to me. I've heard these miraculous testimonies about what takes place in churches when you honor. These unheard of things that take place in people's offices as employees and or bosses. The authority, those that have authority over them, those that are have authority under them. And I come to this statement and you say, even greater than all of that, the need is great there, but it is not even close to the need for the honor that's missing in the home.
Yes.
And that, John, I was so glad I didn't skip this chapter, because this chapter was the most engaging to me, somewhat because of the accounts from Scripture that you used, your own family, your own life, the young men that you guys are raising in your home right now. And you made a statement, this is where I want to get into today, you made a statement that dishonoring our parents has become a way of life in America.
Yeah.
That is a bold statement, and I believe it's a true statement. Talk to us about that.
You know, we're covering two different angles here. We're talking about parents honoring children, and we're talking about children honoring parents. Mm-hmm. So right now, you just made a statement that I'm going to go the direction of children dishonoring parents. Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, honor your parents. And you know what? We should, I think I've got, actually, I've got it right here. It says, children, honor your father and your mother. Verse 2, which is the first commandment with a promise. So here's the reward. The reward's attached right to the command. Yeah. What's the reward? It's actually two rewards. Number one, that it may be well with you. Number two, that you'll live long on the earth. Do you understand the reward for honoring your parents right there? You're going to have a successful life, and you're going to live long. I mean, there's your promise right there. You won't die of some stupid disease, a car wreck, or prematurely. Now, somebody may be sitting there thinking, yeah, but now wait a minute. I know somebody, they honored their parents, and they died young. Well, we have to explain this. Every promise in the Bible is not automatic. It has to be acquired by faith. Mm-hmm. If you look at, let me prove it. If you look at Isaac, God said to Abraham, through Isaac, the nations will come, correct? And Isaac, his wife, was picked out by Abraham's servant, but really it wasn't Abraham's servant, because Abraham's servant prayed, God, let the girl that feeds, waters all the camels, be the one you've chosen for Isaac.
Right.
Who is it? It's Rebecca. Rebecca's brought back to Isaac, and they discover she's barren. She can never have children. Well, if the promise of God is automatic, then why does God give Isaac a woman who can never have children? It wasn't until Genesis 25, when Isaac cried out to the Lord, that God heard his prayer, opened up her womb, and out came Jacob and Esau. You see, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven. It does not say, forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven and earth. Mm. How does his word get established in earth? The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. God said, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void. How does it return? Our mouths. So he's the first mouth. We're the second mouth. When we speak it, we establish it on the earth. Okay? So here's the Bible that says, honor your father and mother. And if you do, you've got a guaranteed covenant promise of God that you'll be successful and that you'll live a long life that you can stand on. Now, our society, as you said, trains us to dishonor our parents. Mm-hmm. Literally, that is. And why is that? Think of it. If you're the devil, what do you want to do? You want to get children, especially in the church, to dishonor their mother and father so that you can what? They cannot have the guaranteed of a successful life, and they cannot live a long life. Mm-hmm. He's a legalist. He wants to remove that promise. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, there are, let me just share how I think society trains us to dishonor our parents. Lisa and I have four boys. One's 22 and the others are teenagers. All four of those boys love God with all their heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. I mean, it's amazing. Our oldest two sons graduated from high school, magna cum laude and magna sum laude. High honors. They were both accepted at the 7th best business university in America. Both of them came to us. One of them, 1 month before he was to go to the school, and said, Dad, we don't want to go. I want to go to that school. I said, why not? He said, I want to help you and Mom get this message out. I want to work for you. I was like, oh my goodness. So these are the kind of kids we have. Well, when they were
taught, which you know is uncommon.
I mean, it's just,
you see that.
I'm in awe.
Yeah. Because you've worked with teenagers. That was part of the.
I was a youth pastor back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So when they were toddlers, and this is back when I was a youth pastor, there were certain G-rated movies. Now, I'm not talking PG.
Yeah.
I'm talking G-rated movies that are put out by the companies in California and Florida that I forbid my kids to watch. I said, you will not watch these movies. G-rated movies. Why? Because all through these movies, these kids talk so disrespectfully to their parents. And then at the end of the movie, they got the reward they were after, like the dog or the monkeys or whatever.
Sure.
I said, you're not watching these movies. I said, I would rather you kids watch movies with righteous killing on it, because that's all over the Old Testament. Okay?
Yeah.
I'd rather you watch that than these movies. Now, there were people that thought I was extreme.
Sure.
Okay? But I don't think so, because Deuteronomy 27, verse 16 said, cursed. Now, let me say this, Jeremy. If your neighbor says you're cursed, big deal.
Right.
God says you're cursed, that's a bad day.
Yeah, wake up.
Okay?
Yeah.
Cursed is he who dishonors his father and mother, and all the people shall say, amen, or so be it established on the earth. God says, you come under my curse if you dishonor your father and mother. You know, I was sitting with Alec. Alec is my third born. He's just an amazing child. I mean, I think he had a Bible study he was leading at 13. He goes to public school because he can't get kids saved at Christian schools. And, you know, he'll come home and say, "Dad, can you give me one of your books or an alphabet or something? Because so-and-so just got saved in school today and he's going to jail tomorrow." And I'm like, son. And that literally happened last fall. I said, "Sure, have it.
Wow.
So anyway, Alec and I are sitting there talking a couple months ago. And I said, "Alec, I personally believe that God put the Ten Commandments in the order of importance, the first being the most important, the tenth being the last important. Why do I believe that? Because Jesus said the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself," right? Mm-hmm. And he said, "On these hang all the commandments." Well, if you look at the first four of the Ten Commandments, it deals with our relationship with God, and the last six deal with our relationship with our neighbor. So God puts them in the order of importance. Like the first one is, "I am God, you shall have no other gods before me. Hello, is there anything more important?"
Right.
Right? So I looked at Alec and I said, "Alec, what do you think about murder?" He goes, "Oh, Dad, that's terrible. That's terrible. Awful." I said, "That's number six on the list." I said, "What do you think about stealing?" He said, "Oh, Dad, it's hideous, hideous, absolutely hideous." I said, "It's number eight on the list. What do you think of adultery?" He said, "Dad, that's terrible." I said, "That's number 10 on the list." I said, "Do you know what's above all three of those?" I said, "Dishonoring your mother and father." I said, "That's number five on the list." I said, "Son, do you realize that God sees it to be a more serious offense to him, dishonoring your parents, than murder, stealing, or committing adultery?" And he just looked at me and went, "Whoa." I said, "Isn't that amazing?" Now, and I know somebody out there, you may be thinking, "Come on, I'll prove it to you." In Scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, says that Reuben is the firstborn of Jacob, okay, Israel. Reuben, it says in 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1, his name was removed from the genealogy of Jacob, of Israel. So in other words, you will never find his name again in the genealogy of Israel. His name has been completely removed. Why? Because he dishonored his father. It says that 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, New Living Translation. His name was removed from the genealogy of Israel because he dishonored his father. Now, Simeon and Levi, that was the second born and third born of Jacob, they murdered men in cold blood. Murdered them. Okay? In the city of Shechem. Mm. Their names are still on the list. Why? Because God sees it as a more serious offense of dishonoring our mother and father than even murder, stealing, or adultery. Now, am I lightening murder, stealing, or adultery? No.
Sure.
Absolutely
sure.
Not. The Bible says those that practice such will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah. What I am trying to show is, isn't it interesting how we as Christians will allow society to shape our values instead of what the Word of God says?
Yeah.
We allow society to tell us that murder is worse than dishonoring our parents. I'm not lighting the murder, okay? I'm just saying, isn't it interesting that we've allowed to do it? So what do? We go watch a G-rated movie. I can tell you, there are R-rated movies I would rather my children see. If I had to choose,
sure,
I'd rather my children see than those movies rated G where those kids were dishonorably speaking to their parents.
Yeah.
Why? Because that will bring my children under a curse. I don't want that to happen. I want them to be blessed and to live a long life.
Yeah.
You got
now
something.
I want to stay with what you're talking about here, because if you're not watching for this, if you as parents, youth pastors, pastors in churches, if you're not watching this for this, it's so subtle, right? I mean, because you were telling me it's all shrouded in humor, it's shrouded in lightheartedness. We have got, just like anything in the Word, you've got to see with spiritual eyes, right? I mean, you've got to look into this thing for what it really is. And do you feel like that's why you can say something like, this has become a way of life in America? And teach us here for just a moment on how to keep our eyes open for this and really as parents draw this line in the sand and say, we're not going to be guilty of exposing our kids to something so dangerous.
Well, you know, I mean, I what I do with my children is if something like that comes on television, I'll just say, "Hey, guys, do you understand why that's wrong?" And we'll talk about it right there.
Yeah.
And they know I'm very strong about this. And as a result, now, you know, I got a text from my son in England this morning, my 19-year-old son. This is my text this morning on my phone. He said, "Dad, you're my hero."
Wow.
I mean, you just made my year,
sure,
you know? And I'm just it overwhelms me. And I'm thinking, and here I am, a youth pastor in the 1980s. I looked at this one boy. I remember as a youth pastor, I would watch families come into my office, okay? with all kinds of problems. I mean, the parents despised having teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I would watch those kids talk to those parents so hatefully. And finally, I remember this one family. I looked at the girl. I said, would you stop it? I said, you do not talk to your father with that tone of voice in that manner. And I thought, why am I correcting her?
Sure.
And it's because these parents didn't believe in instilling these principles into their children.
You mentioned something in the book about this, and this is so crucial. You mentioned how these parents believe that we're going to love them
out of this,
and how their mindset is, I can't correct because that's not love, and it's just the opposite.
Well, the Bible says you spare the rod, you hate your son. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. God intended that. I remember when I didn't discipline my children would just go from just like down the spiral downwards. And one of my sons, Alec, my thirdborn, said, Dad, you need to discipline me.
Yeah.
He said, because a wolf came. He was a young boy. He said, a wolf came. He was horrible. I had forgot to discipline him because I went on a trip. I came back from the trip. He says, there's a wolf in my heart, Dad. You gotta. And I disciplined him. And I want to tell you something. He became like a totally different boy. Now, This is the son that was leading the Bible study, getting kids saved. And this is the kid that is now the vice president of his public high school next year as a junior. He is so well loved and respected.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm looking at my oldest son. My oldest son. And maybe I can talk about this on tomorrow's program.
Okay.
He is like one of the leaders on our staff. But listen, honor has got to be restored in the home.
Yeah.
Not just in the way we treat each other, but by what we allow into our homes.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for
honor,
this
yes.
is right.
Yes.
If there are young people listening right now, teenagers, parents of teenagers, you need to know what the Word of God says about it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, not because you think they deserve it, not because you think they're worthy of it, and don't disobey because they did something you didn't like. You do this because it's right. We are out of time once again. Don't go anywhere. John and I'll be back in just a moment.
Honor's Reward, the newest book from best-selling author John Bevere, underscores one reality. Understand the spiritual law of honor and practice it, and you will attract blessing.
God gives us a spiritual law in 1 Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me, I will honor them. Those who lightly esteem me, I'll lightly esteem them.
In Honor's Reward, John Bevere takes you deep into the Word and demonstrates how you value, respect, and treat others will determine your reward.
In the Gospels, you'll see it all over. People that honor Jesus greatly got a full reward. People that withheld honor got a small partial reward. Those who dishonored him got nothing.
In this passionate new book, Bevere takes on popular culture's resistance to give honor where it is due and provides every believer with the scriptural foundation for obedience.
So how do we honor God? Jesus said, you've done it to the least of these, my brethren. You've done it to me. What you've done to him, you've done to the Father. And the Father says, I'll do to you.
To order your copy of John Bevere's book, Honor's Reward, log on to kcm.org and order online. This book will revolutionize the way you live and is now available for just $18. To request your copy by phone, you may call us at 800-575-4455. You may also write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Make sure and order your copy of Honor's Reward by John Bevere today.
Honor's Reward. Now, if this was an idea that John Bevere came up with or somebody else, you know, it might be a good idea or something like that. But we are talking all this week on this broadcast, we are talking about what's written in this book and in these messages from Scripture. We are dealing with what God says is a must, and it's a thread that exists all throughout Scripture. And I want to talk specifically to parents today, your parents of small children, or you have teenagers in your home. And if there's something you've been unsure of how to deal with a particular issue, let me encourage you to get this, because this is a great tool for you in your own time. But sit down with your kids and make this a Bible study with them. Tell them you're going to go through this book together. Create some family dynamic here. I know that was one of the most valuable things for me growing up. My family would get together, we'd read, or we'd watch Mimi and Pawpaw on TV and use this as a devotional. But there's so much that the Word has to say that will back you up as a parent. It is there as a support to you, not to undermine you, not to undermine your authority, but to back you up as a parent. Let me pray for you. If you're a parent watching this today, let me come into agreement with you where your family is concerned. Father, we thank you for the families of the body of Christ, the families that are watching and a part of this week. This is something you have instituted, and there is power available to them. There is grace available to them. And I pray for them, and I pray the prayer of faith where they're concerned. And I believe that their children are taught of the Lord. Great is their peace and their undisturbed composure. We thank you for it, Lord. Yes. We thank you for the call of God on their lives. They will do exactly what they're called to do. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you've missed anything at all this week, please go to our website, kcm.org. If you've missed the broadcast earlier that we've taped earlier this week, don't go by without hearing these. Go to kcm.org, download it, listen to it, get your hands on it, get caught up, and then join us all throughout the rest of this week. And if you're not familiar with how to operate your internet or your computer, call your 8-year-old grandchild. They will help you out with that. They can get you going in the right direction. And listen, kcm.org is in every part of the earth. And we've got offices all around the world, so there's somebody in your part of the world there to help you out. To keep you updated with what's going on, events, personal meetings that my grandparents are doing. We've got a secure website. Check it out. You're going to love it. This is Jeremy Pearson's and John Bevere reminding you once again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org. or call us toll-free, 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
God's got parts. He can give you a new heart or new kidneys or new anything else. This is the day of miracles and healing.
I'm moved by what I believe, and I believe what God has said. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our righteousness. Hallelujah.
2008 has been an exciting season of meetings, but it's not over yet. Jump into the deeper things of God at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland November 13th through the 15th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Jump into the fullness of the blessing and walk out all God has for you. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
And I think the thing we've got to realize is we don't honor to get honored. I tell this, I was doing a men's meeting one time and I was sharing on honor, and I said, if you go home and you look at your wife and children and say, you need to honor me, you miss the whole point of this message.